Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and this week's guest is Clive Graham. Good afternoon, Clive.
Yes, once more. What, is this the third show I've done?
I think it is, yes. Yeah. But in the past, you've always brought your own releases in on the Paradigm, on your own label.
Yeah.
But this week, the intention is to talk about Morphogenesis.
Yeah.
Of which you are a member.
Yeah. Yes. It's a bit more frightening, isn't it, when you actually have to speak a bit about what you've done yourself, and
yeah,
rather than someone else's. I mean, I'm much more used to working with other people's material, but I think right. I can stumble through a half an hour of talking about me, but only just.
Okay.
Or not so much me, but the activities of Morphogenesis.
Yeah. Which is an improvising group. Started in, what, 1985?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it was 85. I'm always a bit vague on exactly when it started and the early days generally, because I wasn't involved until 91, I think. And in fact, I'd hardly even paid any attention to the group's activities up to that point, even though they had an album out. And, you know, I mean, normally I would be fairly sort of on top of these kind of issues, but there's a group that somehow completely eluded me. And even though they were largely North London based at the time, although the first LP came out in America.
Oh, right.
After a sort of series of maybe two or three cassettes had come out, and it was just a label I'd really never heard of. So when I actually did meet them, and I met them before I heard them, and I was just like, how come I've never heard of you before? And they'd been doing gigs as well, various sort of LMC related concerts. And other events as well, like outdoor events and concert at the Royal Festival Hall foyer and all sorts of interesting gigs. I had no idea who they were, which was it's just quite a kind of revelation.
How did you get roped into it then? How did you get involved with
Well, I mean, I'd never made any music up until that point, and I was reluctant to do so, but eventually I started actually attending their sessions just to sort of hear it happen live and to see what people actually did. And then at some point I decided, yeah, these people, I wanted to work with them. And as it happened, one member of the group had just dropped out. And there was like a vacancy, if you like.
Right.
And yeah, so I was, and they were very encouraging, particularly Roger Sutherland was very kind of, well, God, you could do this and you could, you know, and sort of like, and suddenly it was like, okay, well, let's give it a go. And little by little, it became a very regular thing. And the group was actually rehearsing very regularly at that time in the early 90s. It was every week for years. They would meet at one or another home studio, either Clive Hall's or Michael Prime's, both of whom lived a long way in the corners of London. And eventually I decided to set up my own kind of home studio and see if I couldn't get them to come to mine. And then by about 95 or so, most of the sessions were actually happening at my place.
All right.
So,
So what were you doing before you joined Morphogenesis? You said you weren't actually a musician as such.
Well, no. No, I don't think I'd appeared on well, I had actually by that time actually been on a couple of Nurse with Wound records just as as a guest.
Okay.
Because he was also sort of a local Londoner at the time. And also another kind of avid record collector, which I would count myself as being at that time. And we knew one another, don't know how, from meeting at a concert or something. And
so what did you do on the Nurse with Wound tracks?
Well, it's kind of a similar sort of thing as to what I ended up doing in Morphogenesis, just, you know, spontaneous improvisation that was then manipulated and altered.
Yeah.
And well, the Nurse with Wound are a studio group, and Morphogenesis are very much a live group. We don't do any post-production. Right. The exception being the track that we're listening to now, actually, which... The title of this track is 24 Track Analog, and it's actually the only time, as far as I know, that we've actually released things that are multi-tracked, apart from one piece that we also, that was called a lamination. We used to do laminations.
Hmm.
And
When does this date from? What's this one?
Well, the release.
In Streams.
In Streams, Volume 2.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there were two CDs that I put out of our stuff, and this was... This was recorded in 99, and it was the only time that we've worked with a really high-end 24-track studio. But although even within that, this is not large. This is 90% improvised. It's just that there might be some edits in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then may be a little bit of fiddling and tinkering, but nothing.
I looked up Morphogenesis in the book by Roger Sutherland called New Perspectives in Music, and he was a founder member, presumably.
Yes.
Strangely enough, Morphogenesis isn't in the index.
I
could only find
another error.
There was sort of, you know, the index seems fairly exhaustive, but then you look for Morphogenesis, and I'm thinking, is it me? Where is it? It's not there. And I had to look up your name. You're there in the index.
Right.
And by looking up Clive Graham in the index, you then actually find reference to Morphogenesis. Hmm. So it is in the text, but not in the index.
Hmm.
So it's a bit of an invisible outfit.
Interesting. I mean, Roger would have just seen that as a glaring error, and there are many of them in that book. Yeah.
And it says
we're in there. We are just about. Well, I think it's good actually. I mean, it's probably not the best idea for an author to trumpet his own works.
Maybe not. Maybe it was a sort of modesty or something.
But he does describe it well. I mean, he was he's very good at describing things in a populist fashion. So he probably said something about us that's quite consumable. Have you got a choice quote in there?
Well, he says, Morphogenesis formed in London in 1985. Several of the themes of live electronic music are combined. These include instrument building, circuit design, and the processing of acoustic sounds within a framework of open-ended improvisation and group dialogue.
Mm.
The lineup, and the book was written in 94, the lineup at that time comprised of Adam Bowman, Clive Hall, Clive Graham, Ron Briefel, Michael Prime, Andy Cordery, and himself, Roger Sutherland.
Yeah.
And you're down as vocals, invented instruments, and live electronics.
It's interesting. I did vocals once.
Right.
It did end up on one of our releases, but these things change. I don't do vocals anymore. But others do. So
yeah.
Ron's a great vocalist. There he is. There. That's him with photo of Ron on the CD.
So is the lineup more or less the same now?
It's more or less the same. Andy Cordery was a very temporary member of the band. He only appeared on, I think, one track that was released, and I don't know how he became part of the fold of the group, but I think he knew Clive Hall from another kind of evening class thing.
Right.
A lot of Morphogenesis stemmed out of people who met at evening classes who decided to either perform other people's works or then eventually have a go themselves at improvising.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I like about the group is it really is essentially the same people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael and Adam and Clive and Ron have all been involved from the beginning and continue to be interested and active in carrying it on, really. And so there's a great sense of... I love the idea of groups, really. I think there aren't really enough of them. It's much more about individuals these days and soloists who meet up on some sort of global scale to play with other soloists and who become not so much supergroups but just temporary groups that work together for a short while. But I think there's a real fraternity amongst core groups, and even better still is groups that actually live and work together very, very closely. I think that environment produces some of the best music. In the true spirit of, say, Faust or Cannes, that idea of really communalising a group activity.
How often do you actually play publicly?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, these days it's practically dissolved. It's semi-retired, really. We don't do that many gigs. In fact, we've never done that many gigs. It's still, remarkably, it's been mostly just home studio work. But because, well, for one thing, Michael's not living in the country anymore.
That's Michael Prime.
Yeah. Mm. And what would be the other excuses I can think of for us not working together anymore? I don't really know. It's just, I think we still are interested in doing concerts. And we haven't done one now for a few months.
You did one up in North London a few months ago, didn't you?
We haven't played in London for probably a year and a half. Played the Red Rose.
Oh, okay, that was the one I remember. I saw the advertisement for that one. I didn't realise it was that long ago, actually.
It's not a frequent occurrence at all. But I think. Well, there's always been this. I mean, morphogenesis, it's in the word, really. It's this idea of a morphic resonant. This is going to get a bit hippie-ish now, but the music continues even when we're not playing.
Oh, right.
Through some sort of morphic resonance. This has been always... Okay. There was this thing that Stuart Lee wrote in his Epiphanies column in The Wire, saying that, you know, because we just tend to make this... A lot of the sound is fairly bric-a-brac and unidentifiable instruments. And he then said that he went down to the bar, and just the sound of all the noise happening in the bar sounded like the concert was still continuing, even though we'd stopped. And it's a very Cagean idea as well. This idea that it's all going on continually, and that's not a good excuse for not doing gigs, is it? Now, I'm afraid you got me there.
You're waiting for invitations, or you just is it down to when you decide to play?
We would love to do more concerts, but I've only recently put a contact link on the website. We're just not that proactive, that's the thing. It comes down to that. Although when we meet up, this is when it becomes this fraternity again. It's just like, it's us, and it feels good, and it's sociable, and we make music. I mean, it's a classic situation, but it's something that we're still... all passionate about doing. It's just that it happens less and less frequently, shamefully. But I don't think it's about aging and getting older, or I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's just that there seem to be less and less occasions where it'll happen, that concerts will happen. And we used to do loads of gigs in London that used to just cost us so much money, because we always need to bring our own PA along, and that would invariably cost more. Much more than what we'd get paid on the door. Right. And we only ever did door gigs, and there was never any funding, really. There are some exceptions to that. Although there's a track... I mean, this CD in Streams 2, there's four tracks on it, and all the other tracks are live at various venues. The second one's live at the Spitz, which was a gig that Eddie Prevo organised for us. And then there's a live at the Red Rose, very brief excerpt of a track that was a disaster, but it sounded great on tape, so that got included. And some of our gigs were, quite a calamitous failure. Some of them, obviously, not all of them.
In what sense were they?
Either they went down badly.
Oh yeah.
Or they just didn't work for us. I mean, it's technical reasons, or even just not the greatest improvisation.
So when it goes down badly, does that arouse audience hostility, or you just
it did
apathy, or
it definitely did at the Red Road, and you can hear on track, so you can hear people just shouting, "Get them off!
Them
off!" And then oddly enough, there was a police car went by. The whole thing just went to tape and just sounded great on tape, even though the music was. I think what was happening is nothing was coming off the PA, and no one could work out why.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But everything was going to tape, and I was like pushing the levels the whole time, and the tapes were saturating. I had loads of level, but none of it was coming out the speakers, and I was in despair. I didn't know what to do. But anyway, And, you know, What Went to Tape was quite interesting. And I said, there's a 3-minute excerpt of that. And then the last track on here, live at the Shepherd's Bush Empire, which was at the behest of, particularly Jim O'Rourke, from who was then in Sonic Youth. And it was Sonic Youth that we supported. Yeah. And that also begins with hostility.
Oh, yeah?
Might even be worth jumping to that at some point.
Oh, can we hear some hostility?
Well, it's not hugely hostile. I mean, no one gets shot or anything.
No.
Track four.
Let's hear track four, a bit of hostility then.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's just hear it and I'll shut up for a moment.
No, that's all right. Okay.
Well, it was more visual than audio, I have to say. But
right, a small section of the audience who just were in the wrong place. Or?
Well, somebody, I don't know who it was, but somewhere in the front row. I mean, what's happening there is you've got like 2,000 people talking and somebody playing a piano.
Yeah.
it may have gone to tape, okay, but I'm sure the audience couldn't hear what was going on at all.
Well, that's quite a big audience. Where was that?
The Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they were all waiting for their rock and roll heroes to come on stage. Yeah, and as often happens at Sonic Youth support gigs, the support bands get a real hard time.
Right.
Yeah, because they Sonic Youth have this thing of getting on some lesser known improvising ensembles to come on first. Mm. And the audience are just really just...
Well, does that make them look a bit more edgy or something?
Possibly. I wouldn't like to speculate on why they do it. But it was a good gig to do. What happened at the end is that somebody threw a toilet roll at me, actually, because I was doing the mix. Well, there's nothing to mix at this state. It's just the piano. But I think they were just getting restless. And that's where you hear that cheer. Is when they can actually start, you know, to hear the music. But also because this this well-aimed missile landed right on the mixing desk.
Well, there's another quote here from the new Perspectives in Music. A central feature of our work has been the use of ambient sound as an integral feature of each performance. Wind, rain and traffic noises are picked up by remote-controlled radio microphones, etc. So, and then Michael Prime's, there's a quote from Michael Prime: shortwave radio signals interpenetrate our bodies at all times and provide a vast musical resource. But that probably applies more to his solo work than.
I think Mike's works far better within the group than he does as a solo. I think it's good to have other stuff going on around what he does. From my own personal point of view. He does bring to the group this whole kind of eco-sonic Gaia theory about all these sounds that, you know, we don't really have ears to hear that are out there. You know, the sounds of all kinds of interstellar and cosmic sounds. And by using things like radio-controlled mic, just having just mics outside the window, you have this this nice element that seems to fit in well with our music. A random element.
Yeah.
Or another random element, given that some of us are fairly random at times.
What about Adam Bowman? Can you speak about
him? Well, there you go, another random element.
Well, exactly. It's a fairly diverse sort of approaches, aren't there, coming together here?
Yeah, because Adam doesn't use any electronics at all and insists on being just completely dry. But he brings in all these broken bits and bobs, and it's very much a visual element to the group, and it is an unusual mix of people and instruments. It's quite unique in that sense, and it seems weird to me that we ever got together and made music, especially over such a duration. And who knows when it'll happen next?
That was my next question. When are you going to do? Yeah. When do you play next? Is there anything planned or?
A whisper. Oh. No. I don't think so. No.
Okay. And you release all the? Is it all released on your own label, the Paradigm label?
I've released 3 CDs, and then there's a couple of other ones. Roger released one, and Michael Prime released one as well, a CD. And then there was the LP, and there's odd bits and bobs compilation tracks from way back when. That's about the size of it. This CD was the last thing that was put out by us. I suppose it seems more like we're all doing our own thing now, sort of separately. But
you don't perform on your own, do you?
I've done it once, I think.
Have you?
Okay. Yeah, well, I've definitely done it once, but I don't know if I've done it. I can't remember a second occasion. It's not something I'm interested in. Definitely not. I'm much more interested in the support of others being around and that kind of cohesion of group work. But even within that, I'm not actually interested in working with any other groups. I mean, I've always found it strange that so many people are just dip into working with these ad hoc ensembles like Adam. Adam's all over town. He works with so many people. He's always doing concerts, but it's never appealed to me. I've done it a bit, and I just find it very draining, and for me, not the real deal. I just really want to work with Morphogenesis as on the occasions that it happens at all.
Yeah. In the past, you used to present a program on Resonance called Sound Poets Exposed, which lasted actually for 3 years.
It was a good 3 years. Yeah,
yeah, very successful program. Actually, I thought it was a good one.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to perhaps revive that, or is it sort of not on the agenda?
That's also not on the agenda. No. I don't think so. No, they put me on the spot. I'm on Resonance. It's hard to.
You what?
And I'm on Resonance right now. It's like, what should I say about this one?
All right, okay, not to worry.
I don't have the urge to do a radio show.
No,
that's all I can say really. I'd like to. I quite like to do it occasionally.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Clive Graham, of Morphogenesis, for coming on today's programme, Wavelength. And should we just finish up with which track are we? Should we just play out on this track? What are we listening to?
Let's leave this one on. So, this is Live at the Shepherd's Bush Empire from the 1st of July 2000, shortly before Sonic Youth hit the stage.
Right.
With their, can't remember what album they were touring at the time. I thought they were awful.
Okay.
Especially the improvisation.
Live on air.
Thank you, Jim O'Rourke.
Thank you, Clive Graham.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cheerio. Thank you.